T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
R.I.P. woman who sings this song.
This is Stevie Nicks, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, try Everywhere.
Oh, it's too late for that now.
R.I.P. other woman.
Christine McVie.
Yeah, bummer.
She does Everywhere. Can you hear me calling?
Oh, I like that song.
She not included in other songs?
I'm just saying, this is a Stevie Nicks song.
Yeah, he blew it, Donnie.
Well, we could have better communication in there. You guys made fun of me for bringing up the news 30 seconds after you saw it.
Because we had been talking about it in here for 10 minutes, how much Chris
and Lindbergh said, oh, that's a good song to play, yeah.
Yeah, why did Lindbergh say Dreams? Do people not listen to Fleetwood Mac's collection? They just put it on in the background?
Man, I love Fleetwood Mac.
That was on that little, you know how everyone's posting their Spotify, what played the most this year? I'm an Apple Music snob, and I think the first five were like, Dragon Force,
you know
the
what?
Thomas the Tank Engine theme, War Pigs, and then like sixth was a Fleetwood Mac song.
I think I might make a Fleetwood Mac song in her memory. My song for...
Cocaine Bear?
No, for great fan Christmas karaoke night.
What Fleetwood Mac
Thursday
song would
Mike's
you feel
Beer
best
Bar.
About doing? Tusk?
I don't know that one. Actually, I probably do, but I don't know it off the top
the
of
Green
my head.
Manalishi? Would you go Peter Green Fleetwood Mac?
How about The Chain?
If You Don't Love Me Now... You will never love me again.
How about Tell Me Lies, Tell Me Sweet Little Lies?
I hate that song. I think that's one of the worst songs.
That's one of hers, isn't it?
Yeah.
How about Ooh, You Make Loving Fun?
Oh, that's a good one.
It's all I want to do. How about that one? I'll do that one, maybe. Are we going to all do a song as a team at this? Like the three of us?
Why don't you and I just get up there and sing the Canadian National Anthem again?
You can't get up there because your knee's so bad.
That
so we'd have to come down to your level.
That might be day one of Malzy being allowed to walk. We're not sure yet.
Donnie, we should do tequila since it's just one word.
That is
every like 45 seconds.
God, if you went up there and said, I've got a tough little number here, but I'm going to try to pull it off, and people heard that, I would be so proud of you. What a bold move it would be.
Doug Whaley compares Kenny Pickett to an all-time great quarterback. That's coming up. Story on Pro Football Talk, and Mike Florio is going to join us in a half hour. Russell Wilson threw a birthday party. Only half of the team showed up. Broncos team, only half of the team showed up. This is being reported as a story that shows and proves that Russell Wilson is not well-liked in Denver, that only half of the team showed up to the Russell Wilson birthday party. I don't know about you guys. I feel like if I invited everybody here on staff to a birthday party for myself and I got 50% attendance, I would 100% take that. I think that's a good RSVP rate. 50%.
Have you guys ever seen Draft Day?
No.
Yeah, with Kevin Costner. He's the Browns GM.
So
yes,
the like big prospect, the big quarterback that's supposed to go number one is named Bo Callahan. And there's some story that they have in there that he had a birthday party, his 21st birthday, and nobody from the team showed up. And his college coach at Wisconsin happens to be our buddy Sam Elliott.
So
Sam Elliott got very upset when Kevin Costner called him and asked about that story.
So is it like the scene in Moneyball when they say, like, ugly girlfriend, no confidence or whatever, and they're trying to use this as
yes.
a reason why Bo Callahan's a bad leader? God, that movie, that whole premise seemed like one of the dumbest premises for
How
a movie.
Old is
I'm
Russell,
a fan of it.
How old is Russell Wilson?
32 or 33.
Okay, it's not a big landmark birthday, like a big circle the calendar, 30th birthday, 40th birthday. You're in your early 30s. I don't think the expectation should be that everybody shows up for a birthday like that.
Wait, he wears the number 3, right?
Yes.
If it's 33, that's got to be a big birthday for him. Double threes, double nickels, double trays?
No, I don't think so.
No?
That still would not, some kind of jersey significance would not be enough for me to want to show up to a grown-ass man's birthday party.
Do you hear these stories where Sierra makes her assistant text all the other team wives about stuff, and Wilson makes guys schedule time to come and meet with him? He also still, somebody did a tracker on like TikTok. When does Russell Wilson's, you know, season number of touchdown passes outdo the number of bathrooms in his big mansion he bought out there? Still hasn't gotten there yet.
How 12 many bathrooms?
12 bathrooms, and he hasn't reached the number yet. There is a legitimate sweat going on that he might not exceed the number of bathrooms in his house with TD passes this year. He sucks, man.
Just, what are you doing when you're that old throwing some kind of grandiose birthday party? I think that's self-indulgent right there. I think that's probably why they don't like him.
I think most of my birthday parties in because my 30s were here, at the bowling alley.
Because here's the other part of that expectation. You got to buy him something if you go.
Somebody just hands him a box that says talent inside.
He's got, what, a $200+ million contract? I'm not doing that. I don't care how hot or how famous his wife is.
Here, Russ, I bought you something. Why is there just a card in here that says a clue?
I applaud the guys that didn't go to that party.
You think that Mike Purcell, who screamed right in his face, and Russ was just like probably saying back, Mike, let's ride.
If you threw a big, if Alex wanted to throw a big 40th birthday party for you, I would go to that. That's a big seminal moment in Mulsey's life. Alex gets in touch and says, I'm doing a big gala 38th birthday party. Probably go, but I'm not gung-ho about it. The actual number of the birthday matters.
I'd still go and I'd
be
happy about it.
You don't think that the number matters? Now, you're so freaking old where like every birthday is like a big deal. You get up in the 80s and 90s, every number
is significant. It's more of an achievement ceremony.
Yes, I get that.
It's like graduating
another
grade. They hand you like a little diploma that says like, you're 97.
I'll tell you, actually, I'll give you something here that would have been more telling. Let's say he invited a bunch of guys over for Thanksgiving.
And they don't show. What if he just invited a bunch of dudes over for a real honest-to-God hangout?
And they still blew him off, yeah.
Yeah, you suck.
Yeah. But the birthday's like, come celebrate me. That's what that is.
God, don't
it's a
you
celebration of me.
Don't you imagine it being like the corniest birthday party of all time? Just nothing about it I feel like would be cool or fun.
One of the things I missed out on as a kid is I always wanted a birthday party at a bowling alley and I never got it.
I always, as an adult.
I always wanted a bowling birthday.
Oh, we had them. I had bowling birthdays.
I've been at one of your bowling birthdays. I think that was your 30th birthday. That's why I went. It seemed like a big deal in Mulsey's
life. If it was 29 or 31, forget about
it.
Yeah. You know where everyone wanted to have one when I was growing up?
Cheerleaders?
Discovery Zone. Did you have one of those up by you?
Oh, my God. Yes, we did.
God, if you had somebody having a birthday party at Discovery Zone around age 10,
I don't know what that place is.
You want to talk about an all-time birthday extravaganza? My buddy Sam, I think in fourth grade, Discovery Zone for the birthday, and then a birthday nightcap at his place to watch the first UFC pay-per-view of all time. Which back then it was like
no holds barred.
It was Ken
Big
Shamrock
Dan Severn in there. Maybe
it was like Ken Shamrock versus a 500-pound sumo wrestler.
Or like there was
and
a,
it was wild.
There was
man.
A dude in a gi, one of the Gracies.
They need to bring that back. That was great stuff.
Octagon was like enormous.
You guys want to see some funny YouTube videos? There are extremely serious, like deep voice guys, you know, like who get really into the material, who just talk about the UFC one and all that stuff. Like just the. That was basically a random collection of bar-brawling tough guys and professional...
Loved it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor.
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The quarterback experts, the X's and O's junkies, they are loving Kenny Pickett. 2 days after his Monday night football performance, they're still going over the tape, watching it back, and raving about what he did in that game. Dan Orlovsky there bringing up that throw that we touched on. We're no quarterback gurus. We didn't play in the NFL. We don't look at tape for a living, make millions of dollars to do it. But Chris and I both loved that throw to George Pickens on third down that ignited that game-winning drive. So did Orlovsky. And then you've got Doug Whaley today on the morning show. I have been telling people for months, when I watch Kenny Pickett throw the ball to George Pickens, I feel like I'm in a hot tub time machine and I'm back in the 1980s watching Montana to Rice. And what does Doug Whaley come out and say today? Joe Montana. Didn't have the biggest arm, had enough of an arm, and was incredibly accurate. Maybe I should be a GM. I mean, that is just uncanny that Whaley would go on this morning and pretty much just channel his inner Andrew Filippone and bring up Joe Montana's name when talking about Kenny Pickett. It's a pretty good feeling.
You know who else is a guy who's a pretty solid athlete with a decent enough arm and pretty good acumen for the position?
Bart Starr?
Chad Henne. Chase Daniel, a pretty good athlete.
Hey, guess what?
With
I'm happy
okay
that you
arm.
Brought Chase Daniel up because Chase
Decent
Daniel
acumen.
Is now working for NFL Network and gave this breakdown to Kenny Pickett.
I really like the way Kenny Pickett played. He was on all the P's and Q's, man. It was,
P's
it
and
was
Q's.
Super impressive to watch. He was specifically,
super impressive.
Two plays in mind. The first drive, it was third down and long, but it's quick game concept, and he's hot. They bring in an extra linebacker they don't have to block. He takes a sack. He's out of field goal range.
Not
they
good.
Lose points on the first drive. Bummer. Late in the game, on the game-winning drive, they have a very similar concept. He throws to the left. He's hot. His line is sliding right. They bring the Will linebacker again through the A-gap. The line gaps it down. He's hot off the defensive end, and he doesn't take a sack. He throws a completion. To me, that's growth. That's growth in a game. That's growth through the season. Him understanding protections. They probably talked about it on the sideline. So those are two main examples of what I liked about him.
Thank you for bringing Chase Daniel up, because Chase Daniel
I can't win, Donnie.
Breaks down quarterback play.
Donnie,
he saw growth and super impressive play.
I can't win. I'm just starting to try to rattle off dudes who are unimpressive NFL career physical comps just to rebut the Montana nonsense.
Don't get on me for that. Get on Doug Whaley now. Call
I am
going
to get on Doug a little bit. When you bring up, when you say, I'm not saying it's going to be the same career and he'll be a Hall of Famer, but you throw Joe
okay.
Montana's name out, you have to know that people are going to say, comped him to Joe Montana.
I need to ask you guys a question about the Pickett phenomenon and the Pickett analysis.
What is
analysis.
The Pickett phenomenon?
Well, let me explain it to you. So, it is one thing for Andrew Filippone, who has been in Kenny Pickett's corner since last year, to come on the air Tuesday morning and say A-plus for that game. For Chris Mueller to say this hyperbole, you're exaggerating, you're going way too far with things, I can't get there. Fine. But when the people that actually played the position, Troy Aikman, Chase Daniel, Dan Orlovsky, Chris Sims, when those people start saying after last night, after Monday's game, you guys have real reasons to be excited and be encouraged, why not just embrace that? Why not just as a fan base or as someone who watches the Steelers and consumes the Steelers, and in Donnie's case, roots very hard for the Steelers, is a season ticket holder, is a tailgater, why not take that information and get excited about it?
Independently of working with you, I do.
Well, the same way that, like, if you're a Jaguars fan, Trevor Lawrence had such a great game, like, you should still be in awe, and you should have a euphoric feeling after watching that.
I have a question for you about all these analysts.
Yes.
When they have talked about first-round pick quarterbacks, how often do you hear a guy in Aikman's position or whatever, seeing a guy for the first time, how often do you truly hear them just slam that player and say he's got no chance? Justin Fields struggling mightily. It didn't come back to Justin Fields last year. It was doesn't have an offense around him.
I mean, Orlovsky just has destroyed Zach Wilson
on
TV.
He's the only one, but he looks horrible.
Sims has vouched for kind of unsung guys in drafts and buried high-end prospects before.
Yeah, but would you
say Daniel's kind of new at this.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But would you say that normally the overall consensus is former quarterbacks breaking down current quarterbacks, especially rookies, going to be more complimentary than not?
Maybe, but then...
They will be.
But then
there's a bias built in.
Well, then who do we trust? If you can't trust the former quarterbacks to break down the position, you can't trust me, you can't trust a former GM, who do you trust? You can't trust PFF anymore because they gave him the best grade. So who do you believe in?
Myself.
Okay. So that's it. I mean...
I think I've had the best grades on him so far.
I'm just saying...
Malzy Football Focus.
All I'm saying is that, like, it doesn't... You don't lose anything. It doesn't hurt you to get excited about a young quarterback.
I can be excited about Kenny Pickett without calling him Joe Montana. I can be excited about Kenny Pickett's future without calling him Joe Montana and saying, well, that he does remind me of one of the greatest quarterbacks ever to live.
But when your first point is maybe he's Chad Henne, that's not really like getting on the bandwagon.
My point is that if you're going to be like Doug Whaley and say, hey, Joe Montana didn't have elite arm talent and was a good but not great athlete, he just had acumen, I can name you 25 quarterbacks for every one Joe Montana with the same set of attributes.
I agree.
Who had very average to mediocre careers,
but
man.
I don't even think you're trying to make that point because I don't think you really believe that Kenny Pickett is going to have that kind of career.
I just don't like, you know what I think this actually does that is negative? When people are throwing names out like Joe Montana for this guy after 7 starts when he's thrown how many career touchdown passes? 3?
Yes.
Come on.
But
you're
he
making
also
it unfair
called
on
the
guy
Benny
himself.
Snell play. So there's a 4th, and then the 3 rushing touchdowns, so there's 7. Yes, listen to Mason Cole, the hub, wax poetic about Pickett.
Romy scored on Kenny called it. We were in this, it was a timeout. And
Kenny called it, like Babe Ruth pointing to the fence, Mulsey.
I was off work. It was a run play. So
what pitcher did he hit that off of?
But to see that confidence on
Warren Spahn.
Nope.
On 3rd and 2 on the goal line.
Walter Johnson.
Nope.
Big. It's good to see.
Cy Young.
Nope.
And just,
Mordecai Three Finger Brown.
Nope.
Leader and
Nolan
and
Ryan.
Nope.
On the field.
Johnny Cueto.
It's really cool.
Charlie Root.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Mason. I mean, Donnie, don't you feel like it's a little weird? It's good that Kenny saw something on their defense, like schooling himself in what the Colts do. It's good that he saw something he felt they could exploit. Don't you feel a little weird getting that deep into the weeds about, hey, he called the play that led to the touchdown?
I do think it's serious growth and progress, though, man, that he's already confident and comfortable enough to do that, and it wasn't him like,
I think he's being set up to not fail, but to disappoint people. When you compare a guy 7 starts into his career to Joe Montana, I'm sorry. Whether you are qualifying it the way Doug tried to or not, there are people in our listening audience, many of them I suspect, who hear 2 things, Joe Montana and Kenny Pickett. That's what they hear.
That's what I heard.
Okay, and so if he doesn't become Joe Montana, I guess he is a failure.
No, not that's not even close to true. It's that, hey, you don't have to have the biggest arm, you don't have to have the best legs, you don't have to have all of those things, and you can still be a great quarterback. You know, he could have brought up Tom Brady in
that
same way.
What if he had said Matt Schaub?
He could have done that. Yeah, he could have done that.
But yeah, if you say, hey, Kenny Pickett could be Matt Schaub, nobody gets excited about that.
No, we've heard people say that, and I've actually gotten depressed after hearing that.
Okay, so that's kind of my point. There are more Matt Schaubs in the world than there are Joe Montanas or Tom Brady's. That would be my overall point. And by the way, I'll say this about Brady. This is something I don't like. People always try to point out Tom Brady as an example of a guy without great physical gifts. That dude's arm was unbelievable in his prime. He He had a great release and a damn good arm. So when I hear people say, ah, Tom Brady got by on knowledge and guts, no, he didn't. Tom Brady could whistle the ball
Not even close to Dan Marino. If Marino's arm is a 10, Brady's arm is a 5. Not even close.
Ah, yes, not even close to literally the greatest arm in history.
Yeah, which I think is the point that Josh Allen's arm is like a 9 or a 10.
What's Aaron Rodgers?
9 or 10.
Brady's is more like a 7.5 to an 8 then.
Okay. Still,
which is a lot different than a 5.
I don't think Brady's arm's better than Pickett's. I think it's close.
I think Tom Brady's arm is better than Kenny Pickett's. I don't even think that's controversial or should be even something that's discussed seriously. I think Tom Brady's arm is considerably better.
Well, then why was he a 6-round pick?
Foot speed. And because his coach, Lloyd, was that Lloyd Carr back then?
Yes.
Yeah. It's because Lloyd Carr didn't actually let him play quarterback his whole time at Michigan. He had Drew Henson going in there trying to make a quarterback derby where there wasn't one. Tom Brady plays all the starts. He's probably more like a 3rd-round pick.
Well, still not the 20th overall pick like our boy Kenny.
Better arm. Like, case closed, end of discussion. I've seen Brady uncork some of the prettiest, like, 50-yard deep balls I've ever seen.
What was
any
the 35-yard bomb to
a
George
good
Pickens?
Throw. A very good throw.
Reminded me and many others of Joe Montana, evidently.
Did Joe Montana ever miss George Pickens by like 15 yards on a play that got called back by holding? How many of those to Jerry Rice were there?
Well,
I guess we'll never know because they don't get logged on Pro Football Reference.
There were enough of them for them to go to Steve Young.
Who had more athletic ability.
Correct.
Uh-oh.
But wasn't as good of a quarterback all time.
If I had one game to win and I had either of those two 49ers quarterbacks, I would absolutely take Steve
Young.
Hate that
argument. That's one of my least favorite arguments for things. Because by that logic, you could say if you had one game to win, you'd rather have Bo Jackson than Jerome Bettis when Bettis had a better career.
I would rather have Steve Young, who I think was a more talented and gifted quarterback.
But you know what I mean by that. Because you could say that easily about guys who got injured or...
Well, you could say that then and just throw Josh Allen, who's done nothing yet as far as actually even get to a Super Bowl, and say because he's a physical freak that you'd rather
although
take
he doesn't,
him over everyone.
Although he doesn't look right to me right now.
He looks hurt and he's making bad decisions, but I still would not count
We did
that
not
out.
See any bad decisions from Kenny Pickett against the Colts, hence the Joe Montana analogy. Ballsy, just embrace it.
I'm not going to. Somebody has to be the objective analyst.
No,
here.
There's actually no rule that says that.
I'm making one
there's
right
also
now.
No rule in
Rule O Mulsey.
There's also no rule in sports talk radio that you need to be objective. In fact, Mulsey has had many axes to grind and agendas over the year, and now all of a sudden it's agenda-free radio with Chris Mueller?
I'm an honest broker, and
oh,
I always
since
have
when?
Been. I'm an honest broker. Well, actually, no, I have an agenda here. My agenda is to tamp down your irrational rhetoric. And make sure that this
well, then you need
make
to
sure that this show has a stabilizing
well,
influence.
Then you
on
need
it.
To call you need to text Craig and say, Craig, you need to have a heart to heart with Doug Whaley and say, enough with
Doug
the blasphemous rhetoric.
Nope. Doug has been paid to give his opinions.
And
he does
you
an
have
excellent
just,
job of
and
it.
And you have ripped his rhetoric today.
I have
you
merely,
are destroying his
I
rhetoric.
I have merely suggested that if you're going to mention Joe Montana as being similar to Pickett in terms of their abilities.
That you need to bring up Chad Henne.
That you need to bring up the overwhelmingly greater list of players with those abilities who never amounted to a Hall of Fame
is
quarterback.
Is Kenny Pickett's physical skills closer to Tom Brady or Duck Hodges?
Physical skills?
Yes.
Duck. More nimble. If Duck was 6'3", and you listen to Bud Dupree, he'd have been like a first-round draft pick. He was slinging all over him at practice.
Big Ben did his podcast during Monday Night Football. Didn't really say anything interesting. But his guest did. And we have some of those clips. I think Steelers fans will like those. Aditi joins us next hour. She has the Browns-Texans assignment. I am interested in hearing what she says about Deshaun Watson's return to the NFL. And what are the odds? What a coincidence. It's Browns and Texans. He goes back to Houston for his first game. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, joins us right now. Donnie Football, our producer, tipped me off to this before the show. Mike still thinks the Steelers can get to the playoffs. Is that true, Mike?
Well, look, I'm never going to give up on the Steelers. I've learned the hard way over the years that when you write them off, they're their most dangerous. Chris Sims and I were talking about this on PFT Live on Tuesday after the win over the Colts. When you look at the other teams in the AFC right now, and the Steelers are three games out of the last wild card berth and three games behind the Ravens, but they play the Ravens twice. And the problem is there's just too many teams to climb over. So, every time I talk myself into saying there's no chance, I stop because there's always a chance when it comes to the Steelers. There's always a chance. No matter how bad it gets, there's always a chance they're going to find a way.
Mike, are you grading Kenny Pickett with an A-plus after that Monday night game? Doug Whaley, you know that name, on our station this morning, dropped a basic Joe Montana comparison. Not the craziest arm talent, good physical ability, just knows how to play the position. Where are you coming down on Kenny after that Monday nighter?
Yeah, I'm not ready to compare him to Joe Montana, but I think he does have a good blend of running and throwing ability. I love what he did on the two-point conversion to George Pickens. He used a lot of, looked like Montana rolling right on the catch play, but didn't throw it high, threaded the needle low to George Pickens and showed more burst than Joe Montana ever showed in his career. So there's reason to think that Kenny can be very good, and it's good that he's getting the opportunities this year to get his reps and get closer to the point where the game, quote-unquote, slows down, and he's ready to do something special potentially as soon as next year. So I like what I see, and it was great to see him step up in a primetime opportunity. And, we go forward and see what he can do. So, it's not easy that short week, Monday night to Sunday, both games on the road, come back from Indy, go down to Atlanta. The Falcons are still very much alive in the NFC playoff picture. So, they're building a little something, and let's see how far they can take it. But I like what Kenny's doing. And it's fun to watch. And, again, anything this year is gravy. I think he's laying a good foundation for next year.
Mike, what is your personal opinion on what we should expect with the Deshaun Watson return Sunday in Houston, the way it's covered, the way the NFL handles it on its pregame shows, all of that stuff?
Well, I don't think it's going to be as big of a deal as we expected because both teams are relatively irrelevant at this point. The Texans are horrible. It's caught up in a cluster of, I believe, 8 1:00 Eastern games on Sunday. So it's not standalone. It's not limited window. And I feel as if ESPN, CBS, and Fox will check the box and say something about it. But what more can really be said at this point? The lawyer representing most of the women who had sued Deshaun Watson said yesterday that roughly 10 of them are going to go to the game. I don't think it's going to be as big of a deal as we had expected because we're used to it by now. That said, I remember the chant from the Jaguars preseason game. There could be a hostile reception for Deshaun Watson in Houston. I mean, it's amazing. It's his first game on the field since early 2021, and it just worked out that he's playing the Texans in Houston. So, I mean, we'll see. I think that most of the steam has come out of this one because so much time has passed, and we're 11 games into the season, and we're really not paying attention to either of these teams. I mean, the Browns aren't dead the same way the Steelers aren't. They have the same record of 4-7. But I just feel like it's not as big of a deal as it was when all this was happening in the offseason.
Mike, I feel like this is a random question that just popped into my head while you were talking about Watson and the whole thing sort of losing steam from the NFL's perspective a little bit. Take me behind, and you might not have the answer to this, but I figured if anybody does, it would be you. Does the league ever quietly try to keep certain players who might be very talented but very controversial or have some very negative things going on off the field out of prime time more often? Like if Deshaun Watson comes back and is very good and the Browns look like a good team in the making next year, does the league try to keep them away from those big standalone audiences because they don't like how that might end up looking?
there's a lot of factors that go into how games are scheduled and which games are selected for prime time. And I think it would be naive to assume that Deshaun Watson's broader story would not be a factor when the time comes to select the Browns for primetime appearances. I mean, look, they want to have good games, especially the ones that can't be flexed late in the year. But, I doubt that we're going to see maximum primetime appearances for the Browns in their 2023 schedule. And maybe they can play their way into primetime as the season unfolds. But they'd probably like a year or so of a buffer. And I'm just speculating here, but I think it's reasonable to say the league office would like a year or so of a buffer before things are quote-unquote normal with Deshaun Watson.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, is back with us. A story in The Athletic today that Tom Brady could return to New England next season, Mike?
Yeah, that wouldn't completely stun me. It would be a fitting way for him to wrap things up. He was on his podcast earlier this week saying he'd rather play and lose than not play at all. And when he says something like that, six games away from the end of what we all thought was his last regular season, you have to pay attention to what could happen in 23, whether he goes back to the Buccaneers. And I know that there are people within the Buccaneers organization that believe if he plays, he'll play with them. You know, you want to find a team, if you're Tom Brady, where you maximize your opportunities to finish with a championship or get another championship and keep on going. I think crazier things have happened. They really have to decide that Mac Jones isn't the future, because if you bring back Tom Brady, you're putting yourself right back in the spot you were in where you had to be ready for your life without Tom Brady. And so I think a lot of things would have to happen for it to occur, but I wouldn't write it off. We've seen crazier things happen in the offseason, especially in recent years. You know, it started with Brady's first free agency when he went to the Buccaneers. All of a sudden now, it seems like there's plenty of veteran quarterbacks available every year in free agency. I think a large reason for that is teams are more hopeful that young guys coming out in the draft will become superstars, so they're more inclined to move on. Now, that dynamic doesn't apply to Brady, obviously, but we just see more movement than ever before. So I think it makes sense to pay attention to it. And, it wouldn't be nuts if that happened. But six games left in the regular season for Mac Jones to convince the Patriots to stick with him and not think about a reunion with Brady.
Mike, if you were throwing a birthday party for yourself and NBC Sports staff and Pro Football Talk staff were on the guest list, the invite list, what percentage of them showing up would you consider a success, and what percentage would offend you?
Well, if I lived in Stamford, Connecticut, and my spouse had the money to throw an extravagant party that would have, you know, great food and drink and who knows, entertaining at the thing, I'd like to think everybody'd be there. And it's funny how it was framed by Mike Kliss of Nine News. And I know that the people who cover a team have to have a certain amount of built-in optimism and positivity in the things they say. But Kliss is like, oh, half the team was there. Like, that's a good thing. It's like, well, yeah, half the team wasn't. So I was kind of surprised by that, because I figure it's probably a pretty swanky deal with Ciara and Russell Wilson. And are we surprised that already there are some teammates that aren't all that thrilled with the guy who's kind of come in and taken over and is getting all the money and hasn't done anything to really earn it and is one of the big reasons why the team's losing more often than not? So, you know, it's a weird little story, but I think there's a lot of truth percolating around inside of it.
You seen a story that bad, like a situation that bad with a big name, big money player in a while, Mike?
Well, yeah, when he was in Seattle, yeah, they just did a good job of keeping it under wraps. But, you know, there was a lot of resentment toward him then when he emerged as the starting quarterback. Guys like Marshawn Lynch, Richard Sherman, and others just didn't like him. And they thought he was a company man. He was too aligned with the coaching staff and, you know, wasn't authentic, wasn't real. But it wasn't as big of a deal because he was winning. You know, and there's always been this question about his authenticity. It's only become popular this year for people to pile on because he's not performing well. But that who is the real Russell Wilson has been part of his NFL existence
pretty much ever since the moment he showed up.
Will Mike Florio go see Cocaine Bear in theaters, starring Ray Liotta in his final movie?
I don't know. What's it called? Cocaine Bear?
It's
Cocaine
about a bear that gets into a ton of cocaine and goes on a rampage.
And Ray Liotta has to stop it.
Wow. I think I'll wait for that one to make its way to streaming.
Okay.
I think I'll wait.
Mike Florio, Pro Football
Cocaine
Talk.
Cocaine Bear. Yeah, that sounds so made up.
Based on a true story.
I'm fascinated by Cocaine Bear.
Based on a true story. Yep.
Loosely based on a true story we found
but
out.
But elements of truth. Littered all across it. Cocaine Bear.
All right.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
There you go. See, once you find out about it, you can't help yourself.
I think Mike was
Your curiosity kills you just like a cat.
Or a cocaine-addled bear.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.